Are you happy now? Are we happy? Pretty decent WrestleMania, night one. Seeing some live fans in attendance, some organic energy. Yes, there was a little bit of piped-in cheers and jeers here and there. But overall, feels good to have a little bit of normalcy as a wrestling fan again. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Oh, Bad Bunny. I take pride that we have praised Bad Bunny, not for his music. I'm not a fan of his music. But anybody that's tuned into this show for the last couple of months, been saying it over and over and over again. The guy is a lifer as a wrestling fan. The guy was taking this seriously. We were hearing, we talked about it the last month and a half, that this guy was at the Performance Center going nuts. Not only learning moves, but psychology, selling, telling a story, being the sympathetic baby face. Guy put on a performance of a lifetime for a celebrity. And look, I don't think it's fair to compare celebrities because they're going into an unknown. You know, I mean, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. But I will say this. Shaq, you look at this, you look at Shaq, and I don't even think there's any comparison, but man, did Bad Bunny put on a great performance today. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. You know what I enjoyed also? I enjoyed all the people online that have been giving nothing but insults to Bad Bunny for months and months and months. And because he puts on a performance tonight and everybody that's been rooting for the guy enjoys it, now all of a sudden they're good to go. I can't with social media. I've tried as hard as I could. Just the mentality that's over there, it's just disgusting and toxic. But over here, this is not social media. This is family. Welcome, everyone, to your WrestleMania Night 1 pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony, and big shout-out to everybody, especially to my friends and family that are live right now. As you could see, the chat is streaming. My artwork is a little bit primitive. Forgive me. The overlay that you see tonight, I made that myself. I thought I did pretty cool with the Sasha Bianca face-to-face silhouette. Might change that tomorrow for tomorrow's main event, but I wanted to put all of you on the screen as well so everybody could see your words. And obviously, you know, we'll get into individual super chats and other stuff. Drew McIntyre. Look, as far as predictions go, I blew it at the very end. I mean, as far as AJ Styles and Omos go, you know, we talked about it on Friday. The only problem with that tag team is, you know, we are not going to see Omos wrestle on a regular basis. So this tag team title run, I think, is going to be extremely short. Props to AJ Styles. Congratulations to AJ Styles. He is now a Grand Slam champion. In fact, somebody had pointed out tonight that he's the first person in history to win the four championships in this order. I think he won WWE Championship first, then United States Championship, then the Intercontinental Championship, and then finally the Tag Team Championship. And oh my God, that shot heard around the world. I thought Cesaro's UFO was going to be my favorite moment of the night. But Bianca, with her hair, whipping Sasha Banks in the midsection. Did you see Sasha outside the ring in that welt? Holy shit. Holy shit. That was pretty good match. Look, we talked about it on Friday. You know, it's history, you know, but, and I acknowledge that, you know, two black women main eventing, closing out WrestleMania is a very important, you know, progress. I mean, but I believe, and it's hard for me to come across the right way because I'm a white guy, but those two put on a performance for WrestleMania standards. They earned it. They really earned it. And when you had Drew McIntyre, even if you want to forget about color for a second or gender or anything else, look at it like this. You had Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley open up WrestleMania. Who would you have closed instead of Bianca and Sasha? I can't think of anybody. We talked about it on Friday. I have no problem celebrating, acknowledging history. But don't take away the fact that Sasha Banks has truly become one of the top, top stars of WWE. Bianca Belair has done a fine job. You know, the crappy storylines that have surrounded her has hurt her character a little bit. And I brought it up a few weeks ago. You know, when you look at the recap, and we knew this was coming. You knew that Reginald was going to be this much of the storyline at the very end. From day one, they should have just kept it. I remember who I compared it to? Brock Lesnar, CM Punk. The Beast versus the Best. There was nothing else. The Beast versus the Best. From day one, it should have been the EST versus the Boss. That's it. This Reginald stuff, their high school banter. You're leading him on. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, it's No, girl. Unnecessary. And at the very end, when you saw the video package hyping up their match tonight, it was about the EST versus the Boss. They deserved it. And props to Bianca Belair for delivering. Very emotional. We talked about it. You knew there was going to be some tears shed tonight. That overwhelming emotion of performing in front of fans again was going to get the best of the strongest wrestlers, Drew McIntyre. His backstage interview when we had the rain delay at the very beginning. You know, he got choked up for a moment. At the very end, Bianca Belair, you know, was extremely emotional. Sasha Banks, you could go on and on and on. That's why, with all due respect, seriously, and that's why I get a little bit fed up with the garbage that you see on social media and these websites. These people that are still trying to convince you that pro wrestling is not going back to house shows, these are the dumbest moronic people on the face of the earth. The pro wrestling is all about going to venues and house shows and pay-per-views and WrestleManias, and even if you're not WWE, that's what it's about. It's not going away. You're starting to see all of these people that have been feeding you crap for the last 6 months. They're trying to figure out, how do we cover it up? Look at the cutouts tonight. For anybody out there that was wondering, why were the fans so dark during the match, the pay-per-view, all night long tonight? It's simple semantics. The fans blended in with the cutouts. They did. This idea that Vince was against cutouts from the beginning was moronic. It was stupid. There was never any objection with cutouts. They were going to make the lights dark enough that even if you saw it from a far away visual, it looks like the building is sold out. That's why they did that tonight. No problem with it whatsoever. I think the official number tonight was 25,675. I don't have much notes in front of me. We had seven matches. All of them I thought were decent. You even got a little hint. Oh, the people online tonight. God bless some of you out there. Did you see the Dana Brooke slip? Did you see it? Did you see it? You just saw a tiny little hint of a change in skin color. And social media went wild. Oh my God, Peacock is going to censor this. I see a little bit of nipple. It was, I'm telling you, it was the, just the, oh God, it was fun. I felt bad for Mandy Rose. Felt bad for Mandy Rose. She slipped walking down the rampway. It was wet. It's wet. Boots are leather. The bottoms, the soles, sometimes slip. She fell on her butt. And people seem to enjoy it online. Drew McIntyre. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How many people for the last 2 or 3 weeks have almost hoped that Drew McIntyre was going to get booed out of the building? Drew's going to get booed out of the building. I had fans that support this show sending me video highlights all night long. And I wanted to put a couple on the show here tonight, but I don't want to take the chance of copyright infringement. But when Drew McIntyre came out for his match, a lot of fans were going, Drew, 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 Drew. And goofs online that have been almost hoping that Drew McIntyre was going to get booed out of the building, they're saying, oh, no, no, he got booed a little bit. There was no sign of boos whatsoever. Drew McIntyre got a great fucking pop. And Bad Bunny, getting back to Bad Bunny, for those that are going to ask, yes, WWE spliced in some light cheers when he first came out. They did that all night long. I'll probably on my social media, I might put the footage there so you could see the difference. They weren't going to suddenly pack the soundboard away and go away. They were not going to, because look, let's be honest, even with Bad Bunny, him going into this match tonight was a total unknown. And by the way, I'll get into your super chats in a second. But Bad Bunny going into the match tonight was a total unknown. How were the fans going to react? Was it going to be similar to what I said about Saudi Arabia, that fans are just so ecstatic to be back, they were going to pretty much cheer everybody? You know, once you get back to normal, even if you're wearing a mask and you get into the vibe of being at a live wrestling show, 5 minutes in, it's like riding a bike. If any of you out there that knew how to ride a bike as a kid, that has not ridden a bike in 20 years, if you got on that bike right now, for the first couple of pedals, you might feel a little wobbly. You might feel like, oh, this doesn't feel, this is weird. But after a matter of seconds, you're like, oh, this is just like what I used to. Same thing tonight with wrestling. Within a few minutes, it was back to normal for everybody there. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. Imagine waking up to this. Imagine waking up to this. Guy is a freaking beast, man. And he beat Shane. Well, I got some photos for tonight. We'll get into it. But before we go into the pay-per-view itself, let's get into some comments. By the way, I want to give a special shout out to Brandon Jones. He got his first shot of the vaccine today. I know for some of you out there that don't tune in on a regular basis, you know, we got some very close friends that always tune into the show and we look out for each other. And even with the vaccines, everybody's just trying to get back to normal. Even if you don't believe in vaccines, you're trying to get back to normal a little bit. And let me tell you something, tonight was a step in the right direction. Yes, you had your whiny heinies that were accusing fans tonight, super spreaders, we're still in a pandemic, blah, 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 blah. You know, we got to start getting back to normal. Be careful, you know, do what you got to do, but we got to start getting back to normal. We got over 100 million people in the United States that have been vaccinated at least once. You know, if it's that bad, we're fucked. We're fucked. I apologize for the strong language, but you can go back to some normalcy and be careful about it. So props to you, Brandon. AS7607, Sasha and Bianca put on a fantastic wrestling match. It was excellent. You had psychology, Bianca showing off her strength. You know, look at that. I mean, look at this. I mean, not only she was shaking. I mean, the adrenaline kicked in. But not only did she pick up Sasha, she's walking down the outside of the ring. She's walking up the steps, and she dumps Sasha over the top rope. Phenomenal. Look, it was Sasha being cocky, Bianca showing off her strength. I will tell you this. I'm sorry for cutting off your comment again, but I'm a little disappointed this did not happen tonight. Wait, let's take this out. This did not happen tonight. Becky Lynch Remember what we talked about yesterday? She posted this on social media. Nothing is guaranteed here. Tonight only, now eternally. And if you take the letter of each word, the first letter of each word, that spells out night one. Well, we did not get an appearance for Becky Lynch. We can hope for tomorrow. Tomorrow is only 24 hours away. So we will see if Becky Lynch makes a return. I'll be honest with you. If the intention is for Becky Lynch to go after Bianca Belair from the start, then I have no problem with Becky not being on the show tonight. Because going off the air the way they did with Bianca, beautiful. You don't want it to be overshadowed by, because if Becky Lynch were to return, even if she attacked Bianca or issued a challenge or whatever it was, that would overshadow Bianca's win. So you know what? Bianca, she got the WrestleMania moment tonight. She got the Royal Rumble moment. WWE is extremely high on Bianca Belair. Do not mix the two. Bad storyline and talented performer is two totally different things. I know a lot of people out there were totally against Bianca and Sasha main eventing WrestleMania. And as I said yesterday, I'm an old person now. I'm an old man. All right, let's be honest. I'm an old guy. I go back to watching wrestling in 1979 as a kid. And when I was allowed to finally go to some events at Madison Square Garden in my preteen years, you know, the main events would happen halfway through the show. And you would have BS matches to close out the night. I don't care what matches first and what matches last. Give me good shit. Give me good entertainment. If people are going to be that triggered because this match ends and this, your priorities are a little bit out of whack, in my honest opinion. Sasha is at her very best as a heel, absolutely. And you know what? If Becky Lynch is about to return, you had to go this route. You had, if Becky is going to be the monster baby face, you needed to tweak Sasha Banks a little bit. So we'll see what happens. And look, Reginald was a total waste of time in this storyline. I honestly still don't understand why they even did that. But they did. They did, you know. But in the end, they dropped it. And that's the most important thing. King of James, because Kingdom James used to be a friend when we were doing stuff in XPW. I mean, he was obviously up here, and I was just nobody, but Kingdom James was good people. King of Games 405, glad to see Vince speaking at the beginning. Who else, man? Who else? We've been battling a pandemic for 16 plus months, and we got WrestleMania with some live fans tonight. Great visuals. The entrances were a little bit lacking. Bad Bunny had the best entrance of the night, which was pretty cool. But for Vince, after everything that has gone on and all the hard work getting to this point tonight, I think he obviously deserved to go out there and, you know, just root, you know, get everybody energized. I mean, he is the person behind everything. So he definitely deserved it. I know, Vince, for some of you out there, you're not thrilled about the guy, but, you know, they made it happen. And they took precautions, all the safety measures. You know, you got to understand something. This is not to defend WWE. This is not to defend DeSantis in Florida. But you take safety precautions, and then people start taking their mask off and they start getting in people's faces. Oh, high five, this is and that. And they start being careless. You know, it's very, very difficult to control that when you have 20 some odd thousand people there. It's not a cop out or anything like that. But at the end of the day, we're all grown ups. We're all adults. We have individual responsibility. So, you know, obviously WWE, the government, safety, health, they can only do so much. The fans in attendance have to be the ones to really show it. And let me tell you something. If this doesn't end up with any controversy with COVID, you get on the fast track of having some fans in attendance again, especially if they're going to stay in Florida for the next couple of months. So, oh, you know, Vince, look, let's be honest. Vince is frail. All right. It took a lot at that very end for him to do that WrestleMania. I mean, but Vince is very frail. And it saddens me because you look even when Kevin Owens headbutted him. I mean, you look at Vince overall from that time, which is not that long ago, and you look at him now, you see how substantially different he is. He looks and he sounds. Now, speaking of looks, I made this joke tonight. I didn't think it was going to actually get over as good as it did, but I noticed this. Tonight, we had Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan hosting WrestleMania. What you gonna do, brother, when Hulk Hogan is soon less than 6'2"? Seriously, what you gonna do when Hulk is less than 6'2"? Titus, I think, is 6'4", 6'5". Hogan wears cowboy boots. This guy is like 6'2" now. My God, when I was a kid, I mean, 6 foot, you know, 8, 6'7", 6'8". I mean, I know it was always exaggerated, but you see him next to the NWO, you see him next to Hall and Nash, he looks like almost X-Pac size. Oh man, I was surprised. I mean, he's, look, in all fairness though, my father, and I'm sure you've seen pictures of me, my father recently, we went to a wedding last week. My father was always 5'10", 5'11". My father now, I think, is like 5'8", 5'9". So as you get older, because of, you know, your age and your skeletal system, you can actually shrink in size. And that seems to be happening with Hogan, you know. So, yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. But I saw him next to Titus O'Neil, and I was like, oh, I know Titus is tall, but, man, he looked kind of small. DJ White Sox, what's up, my friend? Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. I hope you enjoyed the recap. Wow, we've been going 25 minutes already. We got to start dissecting the matches. Crazy Cruiserweight, Jinder was on the ramp at the beginning. He looked ready to go. Did I notice me and him not being reckoning anymore on the ramp? Yeah, not only that. I don't know if you saw it, but a lot of the roster took individual pictures standing in front of the WrestleMania banner tonight. There's a really nice one floating around of me and him and Keith Lee. Keith Lee was there today. Keith Lee looks good. And there's a nice picture of the two of them together. Now, just to answer a few of you tonight that were asking me the same question, some of the wrestlers performing tomorrow were dressed in their gear today. Why is that? That happens all the time. Wrestlers are always prepared, you know, in case of an emergency or just because, you know, they're wrestlers. They go down on the stage, they dress up. Think of, what was it, Legends Night? What was it with Kane? Or was it the Undertaker retirement? Didn't Kane come out of something and he was in full gear and everybody else was wearing? You know, wrestlers, some will always dress in their gear. There's nothing abnormal about that. So if you saw some wrestlers in gear tonight that are performing tomorrow, that's pretty much normal. Don't think anything controversial about it. And yes, few people said it was the Undertaker. That little tribute they did. Roger Rubio had a great time watching Mania, and the bar has said hi for tomorrow's matches. I tell you, this kind, look, I've been excited for WrestleMania, not on the level of years past, but you can't help but to feel like, oh, you know, it's going to feel a little extra special today to see everything end up going very well. For the first 30 minutes, there was a little controversy. Hell, the first 2-3 hours leading into Mania, there was controversy. Thunderstorms. Few people that were in Tampa were DMing me this morning, hey, chance of showers tonight. And as the day went on, you saw those chance of showers going from 40% to 80%. And then you look on weather.com and you see this big red and green. And when you see all those colors coming in, you're like, okay, that's not good. But I got to be honest with you. I like this guy. I subscribe to the newsletter and I do enjoy their work. But I really got pissed off at Brian Alvarez's tweets tonight. The guy went to WrestleMania, great, have a good time. This guy, the way his tweets came across, it sounded like he wanted, like, treacherous thunderstorms. Like, oh, WrestleMania, as of right now, is on hold. I'm like, stop with the fucking clickbait stuff. All right, there's storms coming in. Wait it out. They're going to do it later. But all this, like, keeping people on the edge of their seats. Oh, my God, it's people doing podcasts for 2-3 minutes. Oh, look, storms. Oh, my God, rain. People have way too much time on their hands. And I'm jealous. He got to go to Mania. I didn't. Nobody wanted to go with me. I wasn't going to go by myself. Next year's a different story. AT&T, Steve Austin doing that little vignette tonight. I think we're going to see Steve Austin involved in a lot of WrestleMania next year. Maybe Undertaker as well. Any chance Undertaker goes in the Hall of Fame next year? I have a feeling that's going to happen. By the way, if it seems like it's hot in here, it is. I don't even have this light on. Seriously, look, if I put this light on, is this too bright? Yeah, it's too bright. I have a light off tonight to try to keep the heat down a little bit. But yes, Roger. People were asking me all week, what matches was I looking forward to the most? And one of my top five was Cesaro and Seth Rollins. I mean, I wanted to see these two guys tear it up. Their match went probably like around 11 minutes. If they went another 5 or 10 minutes, I would have been fine with it. Just like on NXT the other night, a lot of people felt that Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly may have went 5-10 minutes too long. To me tonight, Seth Rollins and Cesaro, or as Seth Rollins calls him, Cesaro, they went too short. And I love Cesaro bringing that UFO out again. You know, some people had never seen him do it before, you know, and some people forget. I think it was last year on the pre-show for WrestleMania, he whipped out the UFO. But it was awesome. It was awesome to see Cesaro finally have a singles match at WrestleMania, let alone win. And Seth Rollins' outfit tonight, oh my God, this was freaking phenomenal. I mean, is it just me that absolutely love Seth Rollins' gear? He wears these whacked out suits. Some of them look pretty damn cool. I mean, I would never dress like that. I would look ridiculous. But I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of digging all of Seth Rollins' dress since he has returned to WWE. I don't know why people are making fun of him or, you know, with the outfits. I kind of like it. I kind of dig it, man. So, I really enjoyed that match tonight. Ryan Shonshek, Bianca getting emotional at the beginning made him tear up, and he loved Sasha's look. And yes, I grabbed pictures. Yes, we're showing all the pictures early, but that's okay. This was Sasha's look tonight. If you didn't get a chance to see Mania, I will do the unpolished zoom in. If you want to see what her, I tell you the truth. If you actually like look squinting, you don't know, her face and the way the hair is, not the color, but it, she's got a little Carmella in her face. I don't know if anybody agrees with me. I'm not saying she, you know, but I like the outfit today. I absolutely enjoyed it. Look, there's no secret. For many years, I expressed my displeasure for Sasha Banks. Ever since she returned with a different attitude, a different fire. And then she started to get a lot of momentum, got on The Mandalorian and everything. And she is just on a whole different level. There's no question. I'm not comparing her ability, Benjamin, to Carmella. I'm just saying, like, if you look at her face and even the hair, if you squint, you know, you kind of say it kind of looks like Carmella. But trust me, Sasha and Carmella do not have anywhere near the same in-ring repertoire. But, yeah, Sasha Banks, I think, always looks hot. I think she always looks hot. I mean, but there's no question, Sasha Banks, that time off that she had, she'll do an interview down the line and say it was the greatest thing to happen for her career. You know, it just got her in a different mindset, and good for her. Seriously, absolutely good for her. So, Ryan absolutely enjoyed it. And I love the emotional moments. You know, we talked about it yesterday. Expect to see some tears being shed. You know, it was very emotional. You know, people don't understand the adrenaline rush to be in it. And wrestling is a form of entertainment that needs to be in front of fans. It's not just for the visual and for the sound, and it you feed off of that. I mean, even when I did my awful stuff in front of 200, 300, 400 fans, or, you know, Frank Goodman in front of 1,500, you know, you feed off of that. And when you hear crowds, look at Lana. Look at Lana today. Made me feel so good, because anybody that follows this channel on a regular basis knows this channel supports Lana big time. Has supported Lana for years. And to see Lana show up at Mania, crowd of maybe 40 people, and they're chanting her name, she whipped out her phone to show everyone, she started crying. I get so pissed. That's why, like I said, my days on Twitter and Facebook is done. I put some links on Facebook so my friends on Facebook could enjoy the content and the shows. But my Twitter days are just about over. I plan very, very soon to be shutting my account down. All my focus is here, because it's just disgusting and it's awful. You know, I mean, I understand when you're a celebrity, you know, there are certain things that you have to be able to handle. But at the end of the day, they bleed just as the same color we do. They cry just like we do. And they, you know, you can't, it's not guaranteed, because you have a crazy amount of money or you have a beautiful, you know, body and face, and that you become immune to abuse. And to see all these people just rip it, calling a fake, that her tears when he did that little documentary, oh, she's faking it. I mean, you just want to punch those people in the mouth. Seriously. And the funny thing about it is 90% of them will not show you their face. It'll be a baby picture, a high school picture, or a cartoon picture of them. It's just terrible. Look, go, if you haven't seen it, go watch the little clip that Lana posted today. It's real emotion. And these live fans are absolutely... And listen also, I know a lot of people feel that AEW will make WWE better, WWE will make AEW better, and competition is good. How many times you've heard that for decades? Competition is good. Of course it is. Let me tell you something. Performing in front of live fans also makes wrestling better. Because you feed off of that emotion. You could hear it, you could taste it, you could smell it, you could see what's working and what's not. Fans, not just fans on social media, not just fans buying merchandise, but live fans in attendance make wrestling better. And all of these people that are telling you that house shows will never return, they don't have a freaking clue. They don't have a clue of what they're talking about. Edwin G, what was my favorite moment at Mania? All-time moment, WrestleMania? His was Hogan and Andre, where Hogan made him believe in heroes. He was 12 at the time. You know, I know this is going to be weird for people out there. Growing up, my WrestleMania moment was always when Hogan body slammed Andre. But I got to be honest with you. When Hogan fought The Rock at WrestleMania, and that whole storyline, The Rock was babyface, Hogan was the heel. When he was in that semi that time, and it just looked funny, it just looked goofy. When they did that in sync, that stare down, and they just looked at the crowd like this, and the crowd ate it up for Hogan. To me, that's probably my favorite moment. Look, Hogan is one of the few that still have me blocked on social media. I have definitely spent my time ripping his shit. He definitely deserves to be ripped many times. Doesn't take away the fact that that's probably my favorite moment up to now. And AS7607, for the short time period he had to train for this one night, has to give Bad Bunny credit. The way he gave Morrison that Canadian destroyer, yeah. And it was outside the ring, too. Listen, give major props to not just Bad Bunny, to Drew Gulak, to Adam Pearce, and we could whoever else trained him. But you have to give a crazy amount of credit tonight to Miz and Morrison. They made Bad Bunny look that much better. It's not just standing there waiting to take moves. Everything that Bad Bunny did, you're not going to, let me say this. You know when we watch AEW many times, people are waiting for the dive. And look, NXT is not immune to it either. I'll always remember that moment with Io Shirai put the garbage pail over herself and she dies off the top of the cage at War Games and everybody's there like. So it happens all the time. Bad Bunny stuff tonight, all the dimes and all the stuff he did, pay attention to Miz and Morrison. They didn't sit in there and go, perfect, perfect. They deserve a crazy amount of credit for what they did tonight. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So, let's fill in the blanks for Mania tonight. Let's throw this little banner over here. By the way, I want to give a special shout out to Nir Rofe. I always shout him out, and I always totally blundered his name. So he sent me a little video correcting his name. So Nir Rofe, and by the way, everybody who took part in the predictions contest, remember we still got tomorrow night. And by the way, if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, hopefully we have no rain delay, because obviously this recap probably would have started 30 minutes earlier today. But if you're around tomorrow night, right after night two ends, join me right here. I will be right back here giving you a recap of night two. I promise you I will not be wearing the same clothes I'm wearing now, because by the time this show is done, this is going to stink awfully bad. Neil Ray is saying that I overlooked his super chat. Did I? Nah, that's old. That's old. So, happy birthday, Neil, my friend. And by the way, happy birthday to Jay Carlos as well. Oh, Neil. Neil is one of, I mean, my Goombas over here. He's a brother from another mother. Everybody in the chat room right now, I know you don't know a lot of each other, but wish Neil Ray a happy birthday. He's hanging out tonight, and he's very good people. Trust me, he's one of the good guys out there. So, Neil, happy birthday, my friend. Remind me in a year also to wish you a happy birthday again. So, but, join me tomorrow night if you're going to be here. I mean, that would be pretty cool. We do a recap. Now, I said this show would have started 30 minutes earlier. They had some weather issues in Florida. I got a kick out of a few people out there that you saw the banners by the ship that were all shredded. I laughed at a couple of wrestling news sites that said, look at the after effects of the weather that came through Florida. And they focused on the banners that it was shredded on the bottom, not understanding what a pirate ship is. I kid you not, there was news articles, the after effects of the storm, and they focused on the banners. They're supposed to look like that. They're supposed to look like that. I don't think tomorrow's going to be a long night, Austin. I think it's going to end a little bit sooner. Hopefully we have no issues with weather. You know, we had storms come in, and look, it was a first. As a WWE fan, it was a first to have rain delays like this. But if you're a baseball fan, you've had this happen before, whether you're watching it on TV or if you're live at a game. So it was a little different, but so what? The only thing I did laugh at, and I did joke about this earlier today, we could have had a nice drinking game early on. If you would have had a drinking game and took a shot every time a wrestler, when they were doing all those backstage interviews with everybody, if you took a shot every time someone asked the wrestler, you know, what's in your head right now? Or what's your train of thought right now? Or how's your head going into the... They did it over and over again. Shane McMahon. Shane, how's your mind going into this match? Bobby Lashley. Bobby, what's your mindset going into this match? Drew McIntyre shows up. Fight me right now. Fight me right now. What's your mindset, Drew, going into this match? Over and over and over again. We had psychologists. Obviously, these were impromptu, spur of the moment, unplanned interviews. But yeah, that's right. Dorian, where's your head at? Shane, your match coming up with Braun, where's your head at right now? Bobby, where's your head at right now? Drew, where's your head right now? Oh, just give me a minute. I have to gain my composure. The New Day. Going up against AJ and Omos. Oh, and by the way, yes, picture of it also. Congratulations to the new Raw Tag Team Champions. We mentioned it earlier. There is the picture. Omos did exactly what he needed to do tonight. He dominated. He looked like he was having fun. I enjoyed it very much. But like I said yesterday, you just don't feel like Omos is going to wrestle on any semi-regular basis. So either one of two things are going to happen. This tag team run is going to be very short-lived, and this might be designed just to give an extra notch with the New Day so they become 45-time tag team champions. Or you will see AJ Styles do 95% of the work, and Omos will do 2-3 moves and then get the pin. And you know what? That's all that's needed. You don't want to, you know, overdo Omos. Look, Omos and Andre the Giant, when he was teaming with Haku, is two totally different people. Andre was at the tail end of his career. He had a lot of health issues, could hardly move. But even when he fought with Haku, when they were the tag champs for a little while, Andre would just do a couple of moves. You know, or chop. Or he would do the thing with smashing his butt against somebody's stomach. He wouldn't do much of anything. Omos is obviously decades younger, in great shape, and could move. But you don't want to expose Omos. Right now, he's video game offense. Doesn't have to tell a story. Doesn't have to do reversals. Doesn't have to have too much ring presence. All he's got to do is execute power move, power move, power move, power move. And that's it. That's it. So, Edwin G., he's a couple of minutes behind on the stream. Yes, Hogan and Rock made him believe again. I loved Hogan and Rock's match. That's a match that I still watch from time to time, and I still get goosebumps once in a while. Don't ask me why. I do. I will tell you, I was a little disappointed that we didn't get any surprise legends showing up tonight, other than the NWO. And by the way, was it just me, or did it look like Scott Hall was looking at Bayley's ass? I don't know. Kind of looked that way. And Mark Anderson, do I think WWE should do WrestleMania for two nights going forward? No. No. First of all, fans can't afford it. Fans can't afford it. Some fans could afford it, obviously. And trust me, the prices this time around were a lot cheaper than before because you didn't have to buy first row, second row, fourth row. You could buy next level up, you know, $100, $200, maybe $300, and you could get both nights. Hotels are pretty cheap. The plane fare, already discussed how cheap the plane fare was. Hell, I could have gone to WrestleMania for $79, plane fare. And a few people thought I was bullshitting at the time until I posted the links. I'm like, yeah, you're right, $79. Next year, it ain't going to be $79, but it's too expensive. And not only that, you go to WrestleMania for the weekend. The agenda is usually the same thing. Hall of Fame on Saturday, WrestleMania on Sunday, night after WrestleMania, Raw, and then Tuesday you go home. You really can't keep mixing that up. I mean, look, if COVID is going to be around for a couple of years, get used to it. It's going to be around because a large portion of each country is not going to get vaccinated. They don't believe in vaccines. You're going to have people coming in from other countries with different variants. It is going to linger, but it's not going to dominate, you know, the world. But it's going to be around. So there's going to be some precautions taken. And I got news for you. I don't want to get sidetracked with this, but even when COVID is out of here and gone, you know, hopefully, we all picked up a little bit of extra sanitary measures and precautions. Unless you're like hanging out and getting a little sociable with people, there's no reason to, you know, hey, what did you think of WrestleMania? And you're right in somebody's face. keep a foot or two distance behind. You know, you wash your hands a little more often. You sanitize here and there. You be careful. You know, hopefully we picked up on learning about germs, because it's not just COVID that'd get you sick. Trust me. Sam says us Americans are lucky. Why? Why? There's so much shit still going on in this country. I mean, it's still really bad. But, you know, I think the worst is over. We got to just keep our eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Puffy89 says, pretty good first night, despite the delay. Yeah, we could open up again with Mania. The delay was not that big of a deal. You know, first they said it was going to be 8:45 start, which would have been 45 minutes late. And then I would say probably like a quarter after, they said that it was going to start like within 5 minutes. Took a little bit extra time. But look, rain delay. I felt bad for Bobby Lashley and for Drew, because it was such an emotional moment for them to go out there. And you get in the zone. Believe me when I tell you, I know this is a bad comparison, but I just want to tell this little quick story. When I was doing work for XPW in 2002, one of the moments that I always remember, and this is random, but you'll get my point. One of the things that I always remember to this day, and don't ask me why I remember it, the first or second time they were in Philly, I went backstage, and I think I smoked a cigarette because I was still smoking at the time. And Sonny Siaki, you remember Sonny Siaki? Sonny Siaki was in the corner, walking back and forth, just walking back and forth, pacing back and forth. And I don't remember who I was with, but I'm like, the fuck's his problem? Like, it just was weird. No, don't go anywhere near him. He's getting in the zone. And, you know, then I started learning a little bit about you get into a frame of mind that you psych yourself up, you get into a zone, and you don't want anything disturbing that. And I will never forget that to this day. I mean, so intense, not just pacing back and forth like a soldier. It was intensity that I had never seen in, you know, up close like that before. And that was his preparation for matches. And since then, I have seen others and their, you know, their routine. And a lot of it, you know, you get into that zone, especially when you're performing for WWE, the greatest, biggest company in the world, the big time, you know, that delay rattles you. It rattles you. Look at Drew McIntyre. Even for those out there watching this right now that don't like Drew McIntyre anymore, or just don't, you know, feel it with him. We're in the middle of a rain delay. And Mackenzie Phillips interviews him backstage. And yes, it was funny. You know, what's your mindset? What's your frame of mind? And he literally said, I need a minute. Like, he was emotional. And it was about the fans. This is how important performing in front of a live audience and fans are. And it's not just performing in front of live fans. It's going through 16 months of this pandemic. Imagine how Drew McIntyre feels a year ago, finding out he's going to be WWE champion, and then looking back a year, realizing that his entire run was going to be in front of video screens. Imagine what that did to him. Imagine how cheated he feels because of it. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So I made the list. We had Shane McMahon, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, The New Day, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was interviewed today? I think Kevin Owens was interviewed today. Yeah, that's right, because he grabbed the microphone and he talked about tomorrow. That, like I said, they were just randomly bringing people. And you see, Kevin Owens did an interview. That's why you always dress. What I said earlier. Didn't even put the two together. But that's why you always dress for the event. Wasn't even on the card tonight. So, there you go. No, I don't. Kay Doherty, I don't think Cesaro botched when they were on the ropes. I know what you're talking about. You know, look, it's not just rain, but the humidity level was extremely high. And believe me, when you're performing outside with the humidity and there's rain in the air and there's mist, you know, a little bit of ropes here and there gets a little slippy. Gets slippery. Did I say slippy? Slippery. So, but, so we had Vince McMahon on the mic at the very beginning. The roster, the entire WWE roster was on the stage. And Vince McMahon, you know, talking about the pandemic and finally being able to have fans in attendance and, you know, welcomed everybody to WrestleMania. And then we had a little bit of a rain delay. And we finally got Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. I know a lot of people thought Drew McIntyre was going to regain the championship. I'm still holding out hope that Brock Lesnar maybe makes his return, attacks Bobby Lashley, and maybe we get a two-way or a three-way for that championship. Don't know if it's going to happen, but it made me feel so good. It made me feel so good to see Drew McIntyre come out there and get the pop that he did. Simply because he never got to enjoy WrestleMania last year in front of live fans, other than video screens. He had his whole entire championship run without live fans there, without feeding off of them. So after a year of going through this, imagine how he would have felt if he came out there and got booed out of the building. He's not playing a heel, you know, and that's what pissed me off about social media. And it really was the tipping point for me, because you have all these people that always say, oh, we got to be better, like this and that, and blah, 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 blah. And you had people literally hoping that this man got booed out of the building. For what? Tell me for what it proves. What does it do? And then he doesn't get booed out of the building, and then they change their train of thought. Just like the stuff with Bad Bunny, just like the stuff with Bianca Belair. So many people shitting on Bianca Belair being in the main event of WrestleMania. Then you get a phenomenal match. Okay, now I like it. Now I like it. The more you stay away from that, the more you enjoy WrestleMania. Trust me. I enjoyed the hype to WrestleMania leading up to today because I ignore all that crap, all that noise. So anyway, we get the match with Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. Very physical. You could see in the beginning that they were really emotional because they were finally performing in front of live fans. Both getting acknowledgement from the crowd. Bobby Lashley getting the boos simply because of his character. Towards the end of the match, Bobby Lashley ate three Future Shock DDTs just for a two count. And there was a cool moment because right after that, the fans started chanting, "This is awesome." And when you see that, focus on Bobby Lashley and then focus on Drew. And you could see that they really, really ate that up. It was pretty damn cool. It was cool. And you know what was cool about it? It was organic. It wasn't a soundboard splicing it in. The fans really were enjoying this match. There was another point where Drew was going to hit the Claymore. Bobby Lashley rolls outside the ring, and Drew McIntyre dives. Kind of remind you a little bit of Undertaker when he used to dive over the top rope. He dove onto Lashley. There was even another point where Drew McIntyre hit the Kimura Lock onto Bobby Lashley, but in the end, Bobby Lashley with the Hurt Lock, and at one point, we thought that Drew was going to break it. He fell backwards into the corner, but Bobby Lashley refused to break the hold, and Drew McIntyre ends up, you know, basically tapping out, knocked out. He's done. And Bobby Lashley retains. A lot of people were surprised at that. They thought that Drew McIntyre was going to regain the championship. And I understand why people feel that way. You think of just let's give Drew his WrestleMania moment with the title in front of live fans cheering. But the bigger picture is Drew had it for almost a year. You don't want to do that simply so you have that emotional moment. Drew McIntyre could win a championship again. Drew McIntyre could win next year at WrestleMania. Anything could happen. So Bobby Lashley retains, and if you are interested, there is a really nice video online. Bobby Lashley and MVP were interviewed after their match, Lashley's match tonight at Mania. And it's nice. It's actually pretty cool because Lashley acknowledges MVP. There was actually a lot of smiles. It's a really cool video. So you go check it out. I'm sure you'll see it on WWE's Twitter feed tonight. We had a segment backstage, Titus O'Neil, Hulk Hogan. By the way, Titus and Hogan, I should also add this, right before the match with Lashley and Drew McIntyre, they came out, welcome everyone to WrestleMania. Titus got a nice pop. Hogan got a nice pop. You know, they were going back and forth with their banter, and Hogan with the usual, you know, like, what you're going to do. But like I said, you look at Hogan, and he looks like he lost a couple of inches in height. But they basically just welcomed everyone. Little backstage segment after Lashley and Drew's match. It's the NWO, Titus O'Neil. Bayley shows up, and X-Pac is the only one that's basically showing any interest in Bayley, that he's a fan of her segments. And again, I could have swore I saw Scott Hall looking at Bayley's ass. So Kavan is saying that Becky is now teasing an appearance on night two. Okay. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But, you know, the backstage segment with Bayley felt a little random. You know, but they wanted to get her on television. And look, Bayley still could have a segment tomorrow. In fact, I got to ask you all a question. Something to think about, especially for those who tuned into my show last night. Remember on SmackDown yesterday, we talked about a weird exchange that Sonya Deville had with Adam Pearce, where Adam Pearce was so ecstatic about the three-way at Mania with Roman, Edge, and Daniel Bryan. And Sonya Deville said that she felt it wasn't fair for Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler to fight three teams at once. And they kind of like correlated the two together. Remember that last night? Tonight during Mania, they interviewed Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. This is after Mania started. So there was really no purpose on doing the interview unless maybe they just ran out of people because they interviewed so many people during the rain delay. But I tell you, I get this weird feeling that Bobby Roode, Robert Roode, and Dolph Ziggler may defend those titles tomorrow night. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not, you know, but it's just seeing them do the interview segment and thinking about what Sonya Deville said yesterday, it was just a little odd. And now I'm starting to think, I wouldn't be surprised if these two have a match tomorrow. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they even do a pre-show match. You know, obviously we didn't have a pre-show at all other than the commentators because of the rain issues and the threats and the storms. But now I'm starting to think if there's no issue with weather tomorrow, we might get a pre-show match and it may end up being Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler defending against the team. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now we get the women's tag team turmoil. Women's tag team turmoil. You know, I just realized. I should have went through this, right? Yeah, there you go. All right, there you go. Okay. Women's tag team turmoil. Lana and Naomi versus Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose versus the Riot Squad versus Natty and Tamina. And I don't know why she is cut off, but that is half of Billy Kay and Carmella. Last night, they added Carmella and Billy Kay to the match. I guess they want to just give him a spot on WrestleMania. This match, to me, I don't want to say, I hate using worst match of the night, But a lot of us, we always like to say, what's your best favorite match of the night and the worst match of the night? This was probably my least favorite match of the night, even though my predictions was for Natty and Tamina to win. We had the two teams that opened up, Billie Kay and Carmella against Naomi and Lana. And right away, people were a little concerned because there was a lot of people out there rooting for Naomi and Lana to win. Probably more for Naomi to get a little bit of, you know, spot on Mania other than just, you know, losing quickly. But sure enough, that's what happened. Billie Kay actually not only pins Naomi, but pins her in about 2 minutes. So Lana and Naomi are eliminated. The Riot Squad come out next. Billie Kay is basically doing next to nothing. I saw a lot of people online complaining about Billie Kay's work. You should know by now what Billie Kay could do. Doesn't seem like much has changed. At one point, Carmella tried to help Billie Kay, you know, cheat a little bit, but the referee caught her. And then Ruby Riot ends up hitting the senton off the top rope and eliminates Billie Kay and Carmella. And for good measure, as they're leaving, Carmella decks Mandy Rose. Oh, Liv Morgan, excuse me. Decks Liv Morgan. So the Riot Squad advance, and Carmella and Billie Kay are gone. Royal Soldier says Carmella owes Billie because her and Peyton attacked Charlotte, so Carmella could beat her. I don't know. I don't know if that is WWE really trying to dig that deep into storyline. It's just, to me, a tag team turmoil match. So now we get Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose come out. And as I said earlier, it felt bad for Mandy Rose. She slipped on the rampway. There was still some moisture on the ground. Got herself right back up. And again, you know, social media, a lot of people going in an uproar because of the so-called nip slip by Dana Brooke. And again, it was nothing, everyone. I'm not posting a picture here, but if you seek it out, like I said, you just see, like, just the change in color. It's like an eighth of an, it's nothing, and people are making a big deal out of it. And I'm like, come on, man, that was not a slip. But the match with them in it was kind of cacas. Dana Brooke hits, honestly, a nice moonsault for a two count. But Liv Morgan reverses it into a pin, and the announcer announced the wrong team advancing. Liv Morgan got the pin, and you hear the announcer say, the Riot Squad have been eliminated. But they weren't eliminated. So he corrected himself. Hey, it happens. On a scale of WrestleMania, you know, that should never happen, but it happens. Yes, O'Fly, some people have never seen boobies before. Boobies. I know you used a different word, but I go with boobies. Tamina and Natty out next. And pretty much what I figured was going to happen. If you watched SmackDown yesterday, you saw this a mile away. Having Tamina go up against Nia Jax was designed to make it seem like Tamina could beat Nia Jax. That's why you had Shayna Baszler cause the DQ yesterday. Then you had the beatdown in the back with Nia and Tamina standing tall when everybody else is on the floor. So this was pretty much the setup for tonight to basically continue that seed planting. So what happens? Heart attack to Ruby Riot. Natty teases the sharpshooter, but she says no. She tags in Tamina. Tamina looks a little concerned. And she tells Tamina to climb to the top rope to do the Superfly Splash. She does, onto Ruby Riot. She gets the pin. So Natty and Tamina will take on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler tomorrow. So now, even though my prediction Friday was Nia and Tamina and Natty advancing and winning the tag titles, now I'm starting to think that we may have a repeat of tonight, where either Nia or Shayna will be laid out in the ring. Natty is going to tease the sharpshooter, but do the very same thing. Tag in Tamina, go to the top rope, do the splash. This time, whoever's in the ring misses. Or maybe they do the opposite. But I think we may see a repeat of that. But this time, Tamina screws up, and they end up losing. But since I made the prediction of Tamina and Natty winning the tag belts, give Tamina a belt once. I know, I'm not one of those that likes giving people belts simply for longevity. But there were times in Tamina's career that you thought there was a possibility of her winning a title, and it didn't really ever seem to happen. So that was their match. You know, not bad, but, you know, nothing to really write home about. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. And I definitely need to fix something here because this will just drive me nuts. Because you know me, I'm okay. That's better. There we go. All right. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. As I said earlier, I could have watched this match for another 5 or 10 minutes, enjoyed it very much. The fans were into Cesaro. You know, as Seth Rollins always calls him, he says Cesaro. It's like Cesaro, as says, like Simon says, R-O. Cesaro. Fantastic match. I agree with you, so fly. Match was awesome. We knew that these two guys were going to gel. I want to see this feud continue. We had Cesaro hit the Cesaro swing early in the match 9 times, but Seth Rollins was working on Cesaro's shoulder and his arm, so Cesaro was selling the arm, so he could only do it 9 times. Cesaro also hit the neutralizer, but Seth Rollins kicked out, and then Seth Rollins doing a little bit of trash talking. He survived the neutralizer. He survived the swing. He is a god. And the crowd is eating it up, and they're booing him like crazy. There was one moment that the slow motion was phenomenal. I know a lot of you out there know Karrion Kross has been doing that finisher where he nails someone in the back of the neck with the forearm. Tonight, Seth Rollins did that to Cesaro, and he did a replay in slow motion. And, man, that looked like it hurt. His neck, oh, man. It looked beautiful. That slow-mo was just phenomenal. But in the end, Cesaro would get the upper hand. He would do the UFO, which I know some of you have seen him do in the past. You saw it on the pre-show last year. He most infamously had done it against Morishima, I don't know, 2007 or 2009. He's done it once in a blue moon. But, I mean, if you've never seen Cesaro do the UFO, just watch the replay tonight. Everybody was going nuts for it. But he then put Seth Rollins in a Cesaro swing. I did not know that 22 was the record for Cesaro swings because we were predicting yesterday how many swings Cesaro would have. And I said 22, and then I said 26. I should have looked up what his record was with the swing, but he hit 23, which apparently broke his record. Then he puts on a neutralizer and defeats Seth Rollins. Excellent match. I tell you, I'm a little bit torn right now because as far as my favorite match in a night, it's a toss-up between Cesaro and Seth Rollins, Sasha Banks and Bianca. By the end of the night, I'll have to give you a decision. But right now, I'm kind of torn between the two. No, SoFly, I don't have a fan in here. I have an air conditioner or nothing. So, look, we're almost done. We've already done 1 hour and 10 minutes. We're almost done. We still got tomorrow night. So I don't want to overload everyone because we did a show yesterday as well. So I'll stick it out. It's all good. After this, I take a quick shower. I pass out. And then we got tomorrow. So Cesaro beats Seth Rollins. I want this feud to continue. I want to see Cesaro get a little bit of momentum out of this. You know, we were talking yesterday about maybe Cesaro getting a little bit of a feud with Roman Reigns. I honestly don't know if that will happen. But I tell you, you know, I don't want this. oh, he got his WrestleMania moment. He got his WrestleMania match. Now it's back to, you know, mid-card. I hate to say it like that. I think a lot of you out there legitimately would like to feel like WWE is finally going to take some serious direction and get Cesaro to the next level and stay there. And stay there. You know, it's nice to go to the next level, but then you get the smoke and mirrors like we've talked about with Nakamura. And that sucks. That sucks. So, next match. We just briefly talked about it earlier. AJ Styles and Omos defeat The New Day to become tag team champions. Early on, AJ Styles was taking most of the in-ring work. The New Day basically getting a lot of advantage. One thing before the match that I thought was very cool, and thank you for everyone who reminded me of this, that I said it about seven, eight months ago. When the New Day split, Big E went on his own. Apparently back then I said, don't worry, when WrestleMania comes out, Big E will introduce the New Day once again. So it was nice. It was nice to see Big E announce Kofi and Xavier, just like what they did before. The match was fun. It didn't last very long. I will be honest with you, Omos looked great. Omos did everything he needed to do. Kofi and Xavier was selling it like the guy was 8 foot tall and 900 pounds. They were good power moves, but that's the only way you could really put over how dominant or how big Omos is. Omos is a big boy, you know, but he did a great job. He did a great job. Didn't need to do much more. There was some funny moments when Kofi was getting the upper hand on AJ. He kept turning around at Omos and smiling at him, teasing him a little bit. Kofi wiggling his ass at AJ Styles, but then Omos gets tagged in and just basically dominates. He tosses around Xavier Woods like a salad, hitting moves on both Kofi and Xavier, spine busters to both. He is yelling out, I've been waiting for this. He looked like he was having fun. The crowd was into it as well. I mean, they weren't totally behind Omos because they're obviously huge fans of the New Day. But fans, I think, accepted what Omos was doing. And in the end, we had a cool move where Omos is in the ring and Omos is basically giving offense, you know, nailing Xavier Woods with a bunch of power moves. And AJ Styles basically leaps over Omos's shoulders and nails Xavier Woods with the phenomenal forearm, knocks his ass out of the ring. This leaves Kofi with Omos, and Omos basically just picks him up almost by, it would have looked cool if he did it by the neck, but picked him up, I think more by the shoulders, over his head, and just dropped him on the mat. Kofi selling it like he's dead. And AJ Styles tells Omos, pin him with just 1 foot. And Omos standing there, puts 1 foot over Kofi, referee counts to three. AJ Styles and Omos are your tag team champions. And as I said before, congrats to AJ Styles, who is now a Grand Slam champion. And again, you know, looking at the record books, AJ Styles is the first person in history. I know they got records for everything, but AJ Styles is the first person in history to become a Grand Slam champion by winning the WWE Championship, United States Championship, Intercontinental Championship, and Tag Team Championship in that order. So, kudos to them. Let's see how long they hold it. Let's see how much we see Omos in the ring. But for now, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. AJ Styles, we don't need to say anything. We know how awesome or phenomenal AJ Styles is. And I'm glad they didn't tease any dissension or any breakup or any miscues. I like the two together. And it felt so random in the beginning, but it feels like it, you know, it should be. It feels like it should be. I know we've talked about the idea, the comparisons of Diesel and Shawn Michaels, simply because so many people, and they said it today, I think it was JBL said it, that AJ Styles is the Shawn Michaels of this generation. You know, so it kind of reminds you a little bit like the bodyguard when Diesel was the bodyguard for HBK. But Omos, you know, they're developing a personality for Omos. You don't want Omos to just sit there like this all the time and nailing moves. He's got a little charisma. He laughs. They chuckled. They did that little game show thing, even though it was stupid. You can't help but like Omos a little bit. So right now, the big thing for Omos is character development. And I think Omos, you know, they're taking their time. And I like where they're going with Omos. Omos, I don't know if he'll ever be a heavyweight champion. But right now, I really can't complain much as far as what they're doing with the guy. So Michael thinks he could win the Royal Rumble in 2 years. Anything is possible. Seriously, anything is possible. You know, let's see where it goes. Right now, he's a tag team champion. Next on the agenda, match that I was looking forward to. I don't know, man. You follow my show every week. You know, I kind of like this storyline. Yes, it was random. Yes. The road to, I've said it 1,000 times, the road to WrestleMania was already in force. Braun Strowman was out with an injury. Braun Strowman rehabbed, got his ass back. WWE pretty much had set all of the major players and what they were going to do at Mania. Braun Strowman was not included in that. That's just a fact. All these people online saying, oh, Vince tore up the script a month ago and redid all the matches, it's a lie. Vince totally against cutouts, it's a lie. How they cover it up, oh, he had a change of heart. Because they know Vince McMahon will not go on social media and say, liar, not true. He ain't gonna even acknowledge the goofs. So this match, although one of the most random feuds that I can remember, Shane McMahon just shows up one time and announces the Elimination Chamber match, and Braun is not part of it. So Braun is pissed off. I know you have something against me. It was so random. But Shane McMahon never disappoints in a match. Yes, he's always known to take a bump. Yes, he did it again this time around. I tell you, I was a little nervous with Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon at the top of the cage. You know, but Shane McMahon, look, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, at Shane's age, what is he now, 52 or 48 or something like that? I don't know exactly Shane McMahon's age, but people are saying, like, at his age, should he be doing these bumps? Yeah, if he likes doing it and he's entertaining, so what? They don't shove him down our throats. People forget how cool Raw Underground was. I liked it from day one. I enjoyed Raw Underground. I hope to God, once this COVID shit is dominated and out of here, that the vaccines just dominate and wipe this shit out as much as possible. I hope Raw Underground returns. I hope. I don't know if it will. But Shane McMahon, they don't overuse him. The storyline was dummy. It was stupid. It was dopey. You know, Braun stupid. Braun. All Braun, no brain. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And not for nothing. Not for nothing. You know, this public service announcement about bullying when it comes to Braun. You know, when you have him for all those years, you know, with Roman Reigns, you know, and he's flipping the ambulance. You know, Braun Strowman, for quite a while, was an asshole and a dick and a bully as well. I mean, so this is for all the people who've been bullied. You know, it's a little bit over the top, but they had a great match. I mean, at the very beginning, you had Jackson Ryker and Elias. They're outside the ring. They're chair bashing Braun Strowman. I think one of them accidentally gave Braun Strowman a little mouse. I'm pointing up here. I think it was here, underneath his eye. It looked like he had a little mouse from, you know, in the very beginning of the match. It was an errant shot to his face. But once they locked the cage door, it was a typical cage match. You know, teasing, climbing over the cage a few times. There was one point where Shane McMahon and Braun went to the top of the cage, and they had like a toolbox shoved into some type of a cone in the corner. So Shane McMahon whips out the toolbox, nails Braun in the head with it, and Braun is laid out on the mat, and Shane starts climbing over the top. And now I'm thinking to myself, shit, I predicted Braun to win this. Shane looks like he's got it. And I was like, this sucks. But then Shane McMahon got cocky. And you know those extra holes that they put in the cage so you have areas to put with your feet when you're climbing? He put his hand through the cage, waving bye-bye to Braun. Braun gets up, jolts up, grabs Shane McMahon's hand, will not let it go. Braun Strowman climbs to the cage. Shane McMahon goes back on top. And as I showed you a couple of moments before, Shane McMahon was at the top of the cage with Braun. In fact, before they even got to the top of the cage, when Shane put his hand into the cage to wave goodbye to Braun, when Braun got up and held Shane's hand, Braun actually tore a piece of the cage off. He tore it inside and then yanked Shane McMahon back in. It was a great visual. If you looked at it up close, you could see that all the wires were cut. And me, I'm doing scissor things. I'm like, wait, they can't even see my face. If you watch the replay, you could see that the wires, that side of the fence was cut. So when he grabbed Shane's arm and then pulled the cage down, yanked Shane McMahon back in, but then they both went to the top of the cage. It looked a little bit shaky at one point. In fact, Shane McMahon, if you look close, his leg looked like he was shaky. He got a little concerned, but Braun Strowman throws Shane McMahon off the top of the cage. He does the flip inside the cage. And the funny thing about it was, you know, I'm watching with my fiance. She's a wrestling fan, but she doesn't watch it religiously. And I have a feeling some of you out there either felt this, or you may have been watching wrestling tonight with someone else. And when he fell to the mat, she's like, it's no big deal. He goes through tables and off cells all the time. What was the big deal with that? I thought that was funny. But instead of Braun climbing over the cage and winning, Braun comes back in and hits one final move, power move, on Shane McMahon, power slam, I think he did, and pins him in the middle of the ring. I don't think Braun Strowman wanted to climb over the top of the cage. In fact, Braun Strowman looked like he was a little nervous at the top of the cage. But it was a good cage match. It wasn't anything super memorable, but now this feud is done. Braun Strowman got his WrestleMania match. Shane McMahon was willing to do this for Braun. Now you push Braun to another level, and we'll see what happens. Near Rofe, am I disappointed NXT was not featured tonight? No, not at all. NXT had two great nights of TakeOver earlier this week. That was their Mania. I would have liked to have seen a bunch of NXT stars sitting around ringside and putting the camera on some people here and there. I think that was kind of lacking. Something tells me we'll probably see that tomorrow night. But no. I mean, we have so much wrestling this week, and we're not done. We still got tomorrow night, 7 matches. We got Raw, and you know shit's going to go down with Raw. And then Tuesday, NXT, and then AEW. It just goes on and on and on. So, no, I don't think that was necessary at all. No. AS7607, did I see what WWE did for Superfan Vladimir? I was going to save this for tomorrow, actually for Monday. I used to go to Madison Square Garden when I was a kid. And Vladimir was at the Garden almost every single time we were there. Not, I shouldn't say as a kid. When I got into my teenage years, I started to see him. Like middle 80s is when I started to see Vladimir. If anybody tunes into my Thursday show, if you heard that audio with Captain Lenny and Howie, and you haven't even heard Vinny G yet, they were all hotline hosts for wrestling and they were all maniacs. Vladimir is very good friends with those guys. Vladimir knows Captain Lenny. Vladimir knows Vinny G. They used to all get together. I have met Vladimir a few times in my lifetime. He was just always a WWF, later WWE fan, that would show up at all of the shows. In fact, I could swear, didn't Roddy Piper bring him in the ring once for a Piper's Pit in like 1985? I know we're going a little off topic here, but I could swear there was one time that Roddy Piper brought Vladimir in the ring, and I think they were going to hype up a match. It might have been Piper and Hogan versus Orndorff and someone else, but I could swear it was Vladimir. So I'm going to watch that little special. I know there's some people out there that are making fun of it, that think it's stupidness and that, but no. If this is the same person that I used to see and met a few times, he has a heart of gold. Honestly, he has a heart of gold, and I'm almost certain it was him. Yeah, AS is saying she's pretty sure it was the Piper's Pit in 86. I'm telling you, I remember him at ringside and they brought him in for a Piper's Pit. Oh, this guy, I'm telling you, no, it's interesting after all these years that WWE is finally acknowledging him. But he was one of those people. In fact, I even think that he used to want to take the wrestler's gear and bring it to the back. And look, the documentary, I don't think, is out yet. So if anything that I'm saying right now is on the documentary, now you know it's what I'm saying is on point. You can't make this up unless it's true. I could swear it's the same person. So I think so. James Pascoe is saying, I'll put it on the screen, he's a lifelong fan. Where's his award? No, I think this is the same person I remember back in the day. You know, you commit 40 years to the WWE. And then there's a little backstory about him and where he came from, you know, and his family overseas. It's a special story. Just a little surprise that WWE took this long to acknowledge him. So AS says documentary will be out this summer. So I don't want to reconnect with Captain Lenny. If any of you have tuned in to Thursdays, you know why. I do not want to reconnect with these people again. Sometimes you come across some people who seem nice, but you get to know them personally and you realize that they're just whack jobs. And whack jobs come in all shapes, sizes, ages. And sometimes best to keep those doors closed. So I'll find out. I'll find out if it's him. I will definitely find out if it's him. So Shane McMahon loses to Braun. Decent match. Right person won. So then we go to this, and as I said before, I opened up with the show, spending about 5 or 10 minutes talking about Bad Bunny. Came out to an awesome entrance. In fact, look, I don't think anybody will dispute it. He had the best entrance of the night. To me, early on, I'm like, oh, he got the Saudi Arabia intro. Crazy as fireworks. They had him going down on the 18-wheeler standing on top. I liked it. Yes, they piped in some cheers. WWE, no matter how popular this guy is in the music world and how he was being well-received online, you're in Florida. You got rabid fans that haven't been able to go to a live show. Anything could happen as far as reaction goes. So WWE early on, the video that I saw from a friend of mine who was sending me videos during the night, the reaction to him was mild. It was mild. They weren't booing him, but there wasn't a loud reaction. And if you pay close attention, if you listen to some of the crowd cheers early on, especially when he was in the ring, you could hear the same loop of the crowd noise over and over again. Because once in a while you hear like one voice and you just see it's on loop. But let me tell you something. Within a minute of that match, you realized everything that we talked about and everything that we heard about how hard Bad Bunny was training for this match. Within a minute, you realized this guy took it seriously. And again, it's not fair to compare him to celebrities who have been in matches of yesteryear at WrestleMania. But I think it was Michael Cole that said, I don't even know what to compare this to as far as celebrities from years past. The closest that I could give you, and the name that I'm going to say, I know a lot of you are not going to like, I am one of the rare people that since 1995, I have defended this match. I know it's probably considered one of the worst name value WrestleMania matches, main events in history, but Lawrence Taylor, and I'm a little biased because I was a New York Giants fan too, but Lawrence Taylor took this shit very seriously as well. Lawrence Taylor really put on a decent performance. I know the bandwagon is to rip on the guy, and yes, he's had some legal troubles over the years, but Lawrence Taylor, if you watch that match again and understand that, you know, he was not a wrestler. I mean, he was a pro football player. He took that shit so seriously, and then what I'll always remember with that match was after the match was over, he couldn't even stand. So, again, him versus Bam Bam Bigelow. Lawrence Taylor did a great job, but I will tell you, watching Bad Bunny doing what he did tonight, it could arguably be the greatest performance by a celebrity ever in the WrestleMania match history. I don't even think it comes close. Because what was so wonderful about it is all the little particulars. Miz and Morrison could have just stood there and take moves. But the guy was selling. You would think, and we saw this. You know, we've talked about it over the years. You've seen celebrities when they would guest host Raw, where they go into business for themselves. You know, you'll have a celebrity have a back and forth verbal confrontation with a heel. And the heel is supposed to put down the celebrity, and they take it personally. And then celebrity adds additional lines to what they want to say because they just want to get one up. A lot of celebrities that guest hosted Raw would do that repeatedly. Like, they had to add things so they would not look humiliated. The one that I hated the most was Machine Gun Kelly. I'll never forget that to the day I die as a wrestling fan. When Kevin Owens powerbombed Machine Gun Kelly, and literally within an hour on social media, he's telling everyone, I'm fine. Instead of just selling it and leaving it alone, because he didn't even want it to creep in that he got his bitch ass punked out by a wrestler. And I'm not saying it as me saying it, but other people. He had to do that. And I thought that was horrendous. Bad Bunny today, you would never know that he was as huge of a music star as he is. The amount of money that he has. They were showing some of his stats as far as like iTunes or Spotify. It's insane. It's insane. This crazy ass buzz with Bad Bunny didn't need to do any of this. Didn't need the money, obviously. He put so much time and effort into this. And that's what I enjoy about it. Because while you had the usual grumpy cats on social media putting down this guy every single week, but then adding a little extra line or two because they don't want to get the backlash from social media, they ripped this guy and didn't give it a chance from day one. Guy puts on a performance of a lifetime tonight, told a story, you know, went along with the crowd. you know, took bumps, showed facial expressions, executed moves, dove, did everything that he was supposed to. And because people are writing epic, suddenly all these losers are saying, oh, okay, all right, it's good. Oh, fuck you, man. Seriously. This guy was taking this shit so seriously for months. And again, give Miz credit, as Vulture said. Give Morrison credit. Give Drew Gulak credit. Give Adam Pearce credit. Give everybody credit besides Bad Bunny for putting this all together. The match was phenomenal. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, I was a little bit concerned at the very beginning because we got this. I just had bad, you know, vibes of the buddy. What was that with, what's his face? That's no longer with WWE when he used to do all his shit. Who's that wrestler that's no longer with WWE? Remember when they would feud him with the bunny and all that stuff? Oh, my God. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, please, God, no. This just gave me Adam Rose, yes, gave me bad Adam Rose vibes. But you know what I thought was funny with this as well? If you didn't see this, you see how they're all holding their mouth? All right? I think the reason why they're doing that was because as they were hopping up and down, they were afraid that the heads would come off. Because those are all wrestlers. Those are all WWE wrestlers in the outfits doing what they're doing. So basically, they had them hold the masks so it wouldn't fall off. I mean, look, Miz and Morrison were heels in this match. So obviously, this is why they did what they did. But you see that going into it, and you're like, oh, this is not going to be very good. But then, like I said, Bad Bunny had a really cool entrance on top of the 18-wheeler and put it all out there. That freaking Canadian destroyer to Morrison outside the ring. Early on, Bad Bunny was getting the upper hand on Miz, and you heard Morrison say to Miz, we're the greatest tag team of the 21st century. Start acting like it. And, you know, Miz and Morrison, when they came down, they were lip-syncing their rap song. But Bad Bunny just put on a performance of a lifetime. I mean, he was putting dives on people, reverses, some real nice punches. But, again, the thing that I appreciated the most was his selling. Because you would think, and again, I had flashbacks of all the Raw guest hosts. Whenever somebody got physical, like, they would be almost, it's beneath them to show weakness, to show pain. Bad Bunny sold everything, was humble. You would never have thought, you know, that this guy had the background that he had. And to me, it was a huge success. Damian Priest getting the hot tag towards the very end of the match was absolutely the right way to go. They did not overuse Damian Priest either. But, you know, in the end, you know, you got Bad Bunny pinning The Miz. Pinning The Miz across body off the top rope to get the win. No problem with it whatsoever. Enjoyed the match. This is a perfect example of what I say for years, that you wrestlers could lose matches, high-profile matches, and lose no stock whatsoever. Miz loses no stock. I know a lot of us did not like him as WWE champion these days, but you look back on his career, you know, losing the match to Bad Bunny, it's not going to be a big deal. In fact, you know, this is going to always be remembered as one of the better matches. Now, the big question is, what do you think Bad Bunny does with WWE from here? Does he still do more? Because I get the vibes that this is it. We may see him make a couple of more appearances, but I would not be surprised if within a matter of a week or two, it just disappears and we don't hear anything else. It just felt like that this was it. I mean, even after the match was over, you know, you could see this overwhelming, like, weight off his shoulders. Again, he didn't need the money. didn't need a notoriety, but I know this sounds politically correct, but think about it for a minute. We're all wrestling fans. And for most of us, we've been wrestling fans since we were kids. The fact that you have someone that big outside of the wrestling world with that much money and that much, you know, power, and to still put in hours, dozens of hours of taking back bumps and think about this. Miz and Morrison were nailing him with shots, and he didn't do almost, I don't want to compare it to Billie Kay, but I always laughed at Billie Kay when she like hits the floor because she always does this. Like, and she just like falls like gingerly on her side. Bad Bunny could have just fell onto the ropes, could have gone to one knee. You know, this guy was going full blown back bumps. That shit hurts. Trust me. I did it. It's not fun. This guy went balls out and did a phenomenal job. So if you did not see this match and it has your curiosity level at a 20, check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Not at all. Phenomenal match. Phenomenal match. And let's also think about this. WrestleMania tonight, because it was just 7 matches compared to recent years, did not feel anywhere on the level of WrestleManias of years past. But the fact that we rate this match so high, and it's not even one of my top 2 favorite matches of the night, tells you that overall, WrestleMania Night 1 delivered. It delivered. Because that wasn't even your best match of the night. I think in a lot of people's eyes, you know, they feel that this match is the best match of the night. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Now, I know we did the recap it a little in reverse. We spent an awful lot of time at the beginning of this episode talking about Bianca and Sasha. So I don't want to repeat what I said before, other than a couple of things. But I totally understand why some people out there did not think that Bianca Belair should be champion right now. The storyline was very weak for quite some time. But, you know, again, I say to everyone what I said earlier about this. You got to separate the bad storyline with the ability. Bianca Belair in NXT was one of the top stars. When she was brought up to the main roster and was on Raw, if you remember, they did those vignettes with her, you know, competing with other people. And that was cool. But we forget that months earlier, they did nothing. They did next to nothing with Bianca Belair. And then they started bringing her on TV and WWE with their 50-50 booking. Bianca would win, Bianca would lose. Bianca would win, Bianca would lose. It felt like no momentum was building. The one thing you had that you could hold on to is how great she was in NXT. And I know great doesn't end with the letters EST, but she was phenomenal. And she was victim of, you know, WWE writing, Shangata writing. And I will tell you, give WWE credit for really salvaging this feud over the last 3 weeks. Because 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you remember me covering this, when they're in the back, it reminded me when I was 15 years old in high school, them arguing over a boy. You're leading him on. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You see, this is your problem. This is on you. And it was horrible. And WWE, for somebody there, it clicked. Somebody there clicked. Get this guy out of this storyline as quickly as possible. And they did. And for the last 2 or 3 weeks, they focused simply on the best versus the boss, the EST. And best does end in EST. The best versus the boss. And Bianca Belair showcased her strength today. I think a lot of people forget what she did with Otis. Remember that? Bianca Belair is a freak of nature, and I say that with nothing but compliments. They put on a phenomenal performance today. Bianca Belair earned the win. But it told a wonderful story. The amount of emotions early on, it was cool. It was cool. It humanizes all of these stars. You know, I hate that. Look, I envy people that are famous. All right. I wish I had their money. I don't know if I would want their notoriety because I like being able to walk, you know, in my neighborhood and nobody notices me. But, you know, for some reason, some people out there, they feel that because someone is an entertainer or, you know, professional athlete, that it gives you permission to be a dick, say it bluntly. And the thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this COVID has affected everybody. It may not have affected some of them in the pocketbook like it did you, but it affected people up here. And trust me, when it rattles your brain up here, it doesn't matter what success you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It creeps into here. That becomes a big, big, big problem. And Soulfly says, just like Tupac said, all I want is money. Fuck the fame. I'm a simple man. Well, I think they enjoy the fame, but they delivered today. They delivered today. I said yesterday, putting them in the main event put some added pressure on their shoulders. And they accepted it and delivered. I got news for you. I know this is unfair for me to say. I know Jerry Lawler early on said that this was history of two women main eventing Mania, two women. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Because I think JBL picked up on it and basically tried to cover for Jerry Lawler. I'm not trying to cause controversy here, but I'm just saying what I know a lot of you are thinking. Jerry Lawler was going to say that this was history of two black women main eventing Mania. And I think Jerry Lawler, you know, being a little bit afraid to just throw it out there, stopped midterm and said, two women main eventing Mania. Now, we just had Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte main eventing Mania. So whether it's two women or three women, we still have women main event Mania. So I think he was going to say it and stopped it. And JBL went further and said, look, you know, it's not just about black, or it's not just about women. It's about two people who earned it. And that's true. It's true. Look, it's history to have two women main event Mania, because it's only happened once before and it was three women. It's history, or herstory, as a lot of people like to say now. The two black women got that opportunity. Forgive me for maybe being a little bit ignorant here, but me, I try to hope that in 2021, if I'm looking at somebody black on the other side of my eyes, I look at that person like a regular person, friend, coworker, family, somebody I know. I don't look at the skin color. Like, I look at that person like, just when I'm socialized with a lot of you online, like, I don't give a shit that somebody's black or Spanish or gay or this or that. And just, you know, be straight up with me and, you know, be honest and be a good person. You know, so for me, as a white guy, I don't care if Sasha is black. I don't care if she's white. I don't care if she's Asian. I don't care if she's straight, gay. I don't care if she's married, single. I don't care if she's, you know, a player. Just entertain me. And they earned that shot. And I that's why I said yesterday, these people that are going out of their way to complain about this, I don't know if it's just to get attention or they just got way too much time on their hands. They put on a performance of WrestleMania level. And I'll be honest with you, and I think I know why when I say this. I liked Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks more than I liked Ronda, Becky, Charlotte. And I'll tell you why I think I say this, because they force-fed Rhonda, Becky, Charlotte for months and months and months. And if you remember when I covered it in real time at that time, what I noticed is that even the men, when they were in like deep, deep, deep feuds with people, before they would even address the people they want to kill, they would say, oh, history is being made at WrestleMania. We got to give the women credit. Like WWE put out some type of a memo and said, look, everybody out there, I don't care who you are, make sure you name drop the fact that these three women are creating history. It got so force-fed. Instead of it just being organic, and then they would do these over-the-top skits where they're in cop cars and kicking out windows and beating up men and beating up this. I'm like, all right, we know they're dominant. We know they could kick anybody's ass. We know that they don't care about authority. Stop force-feeding it. When the match happened, I'm not going to lie, it almost felt like, oh, thank God this freaking match is over with. I mean, I know that sounds kind of messed up to say, but I think a lot of you out there as wrestling fans at the time, we had no problem with Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda main eventing Mania. They deserved it. They earned it. They were awesome. Ronda Rousey picked up wrestling. You know, I tell you, Ronda Rousey, Bad Bunny, probably the two best to ever pick it up that didn't have a wrestling career. And nothing against the women, man. It was so force-fed. That once it was over, you're like, oh, thank God. That didn't happen with Sasha and Bianca. They didn't force feed it. The Reginald stuff was stupid. But you felt it. When Bianca Belair won the Royal Rumble, I don't remember anybody complaining. Charlie says, seems like I'm warm. You want to know something? I'm actually less hot now than I was about an hour ago. An hour ago, I was sweating bullets. I'm only drank this much. By now, almost at the end of the show, I'd be like down to here already. But it is kind of hot in here. So they delivered a phenomenal performance tonight. I loved it. They did a great job. They should be very proud of that match. I love Sasha with the change with her hair. We showed the picture earlier. Bianca Belair showcasing her strength. I mean, it told a wonderful story. Sasha was using Bianca's hair all throughout the match to try to hurt her. Because common sense and storyline, if you're going to face Bianca, her hair should be the biggest detriment in the ring. And she's trying to do, you know, her submission moves, the bank statement. She's trying to hit, and she's twisting Bianca in a pretzel with her hair. She's tying her up in the ropes and kicking her. And that's what the story was. Sasha was using Bianca's hair all night to try to get an advantage. And in the end, Bianca took her own hair and whipped Sasha so hard. I don't even think Singapore canes normally make that loud of a sound. And you look at that, that's like a home run. Because I guarantee you, if Bianca whipped you in the stomach area, the midsection, with her hair 10 times, probably 9 of those 10 times, it would make a sound. But I don't think it would make an epic sound. Everything just hit so perfect that it was just an insane. And then you see the welt after. You know you're going to see photos of that. You're going to see it on WWE.com. You're going to see it on Smack. You're going to see pictures of those welts. You're going to see welts on top of welts. So the sound was just, like I said, it was a home run. Because if Bianca hit her 10 times the same way, I think 9 out of 10 times it wouldn't even come close. Oh, it looked like it hurt, Austin. It sounded like it hurt. And guess what? It hurt. It hurt. You can't, when you get those goofs, like, I don't know anything about Soldier Boy. All I know is that him and Randy Orton keep going at it, and Soldier Boy seems like he can't just let it go. But, you know, like, for people like Soldier Boy, wrestling's fake. Let Bianca whip him in the stomach once with that. Seriously. Let him create a rap about how, you know, his stomach feels after getting hit in the midsection with that hair. It was crazy. It was crazy. So Bianca Belair is your new SmackDown Women's Champion. Royal Soldier. Oh, maybe I picked up. Look, I don't know the guy. All I know is that him and Randy Orton were talking about stuff, and I know Randy Orton talked about his penis, and they stopped, and then, but I hear that Soldier Boy keeps bringing up Randy Orton. Whatever. So, but that was your WrestleMania. It was your WrestleMania. One final super chat before we start wrapping this up. WrestleMania was fine, besides the turmoil match. He won back-to-back Wrestle Rumble contest. Good for you, man. He won the North American and Brahma Bull replica belts. Good for you, seriously. I love when I hear, like, extended family and friends of the show winning stuff. It's good, man. I'm happy for you, seriously. Good for you. As far as the matches tonight, my favorite match tonight, I know some people in the chat room are a little jealous of Bryant right now. My favorite match of the night, it's either Cesaro and Rollins or Sasha and Bianca. Wow. I don't have any coins. I don't want to flip a bottle cap. You know what? Before we go, very quickly, since those on the chat room right now, you're active and you're typing, I want you to type right now. You don't have to type all the names, but just tell me, your choice, which one did you like better? Just write Sasha or Cesaro or Rollins. Just type one of the names, and I'm curious to see who you choose of the two. Brian says he's an enemy of the Solid Monster group now. Yeah, because you won. Oh, of course. Of course. I'm an enemy of the group, and I didn't even win nothing. Okay, so James Campbell with Cesaro. We got a ton of Sasha and Bianca. All right, we got James and Just Chris, Dorian Mesa, Vulture, Michael Gonzalez. But here's Chris and Ebby Cesaro. So Bryant is saying Cesaro, SM Punk Cesaro. Okay, so I would say it's about 60-40 favoring Sasha and Bianca. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go with Bianca and Sasha to edge it out. And I'll tell you why. Because the rise of Bianca Belair is pretty cool. And it's taken some roadblocks because of this Reginald stuff and the WWE writing and their 50-50 booking. But Bianca Belair is one special individual. Cesaro is also one special individual. Cesaro has had a decade of WWE, and he's had some moments here and there. It's way overdue for Cesaro to have a match at Mania one-on-one. It's overdue for him to get some type of push. I don't know if this is just his WrestleMania moment, and then we don't know what the future holds for Cesaro. So although I thought the match was so much fun, I want to see Seth and Cesaro continue this feud. I want to see some stipulations added to it. So I don't think this is over by a long shot. So I go with Bianca simply because I know the controversy this caused. Because it was labeled that, I don't want to say cancel culture, but a lot of people say cancel culture, social justice warriors, people out there that see nothing but race in everything that they do, that, you know, Sasha, that they spoke out and spoke out and spoke out, and WWE gave in and gave them what they want and put the two black women in the main event. I don't look at it like that. I don't look at it like that. I see this match as being phenomenal. It was history. The two in there got added pressure because of what happened on social media. And you could see the emotion at the very beginning in a match. Once the match started, the emotions were still there, but the wrestling kicked in. And they put on a phenomenal performance. So I'm going to go with Sasha and Bianca as my favorite match of the night. My least favorite match of the night, honestly, was the Gauntlet match, the Turmoil match. Even though who I predicted won, I still, you know, it just, to me, it felt a little bit flat. You know, it just, it felt like they just wanted to give some of the women's spots on WrestleMania, which I understand why, but it just, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling that match. On a scale of 1 to 10, you know, I'll tell you, it's kind of difficult to give a scale of 1 to 10 because it's not a complete pay-per-view. If WrestleMania was only one night this year, you would have had four or five matches added to this. So I think it's a little bit unfair to rate it because it's a half of a pay-per-view. So I'm not going to give it on a scale of 1 to 10. Once tomorrow night happens and we cover tomorrow night, then I will give you overall on a scale of 1 to 10 how I felt about both nights. But I will tell you right now, for the first night for WrestleMania, to see not only fans back in attendance, but a large number, I think it was 25,675. The fact that, you know, we got a little taste of a little bit of normalcy, you know, with precautions, obviously, you know, it felt good. It felt good. It felt extra special. So tomorrow night, we obviously have a stacked card that's going to be phenomenal. I mean, there's some matches tomorrow night that I am really looking forward to, and we will definitely talk about it. So everyone, I thank you for tuning in tonight. And as I always ask, I would greatly appreciate it more than you know. Before you go, if you enjoyed this episode, just for 2 seconds, smash that like button, because the more you do that, the more YouTube is inclined to recommend this for others. And I want to thank you all who were in the chat room that socialized tonight. To my friends who super chat, thank you as well. Much love as always. For my channel members, you know, that are in the predictions contest, don't forget, you still have another day. So even if tonight you had a little bit of a rocky predictions, you can make up for it tomorrow. So tomorrow night, I will be right back here. 5 minutes after WrestleMania ends, we will do a recap of night two. And I think it's going to be good, man. I think tomorrow night is going to be even better than tonight. I think now all those butterflies of having live fans again and getting that weather issue out of the way, if they have good weather tomorrow, you get that first night out of the way, I think tomorrow is going to be so much better. And tonight was good. Tonight was good. Complexity is saying, wait. Wait for what? Wait as in you want to ask me a question? Who is the surprise? What do you mean, who is the surprise? What do you mean, who is? I don't know who the surprise is. We don't know yet. Becky Lynch, last minute prediction, was this, did they tease a surprise? Is this something that I don't know about? They're teasing a surprise tomorrow? I think, like I said, Becky Lynch, somebody wrote early that Becky Lynch is now teasing about night two, her being there. Becky Lynch, okay. But Complexity, I will say this. I think that there is a good chance that Becky Lynch could appear tomorrow. I think she interacts with Bayley. Putting Bayley in those ding-dong hello tonight wasn't even a segment. She just happened to be hanging out with the NWO, and then they brought her out there when they were announcing the Hall of Famers, and it just felt random. Something tells me we may see Bayley again tomorrow, and who knows? Maybe she does a talking segment, and maybe she does have Becky Lynch. We'll see. We'll see. But everyone, have a great night. Much love as always. And post comments. You know, tell me, what was your favorite match, least favorite match? Anything I said tonight about Bad Bunny and others you agree, disagree with? Last night, a lot of great comments from all of you out there. Today, I spent about 2 hours responding to all your comments over the past week. So, you know, post your comments. Speak up. Let everybody see how you felt about tonight. Tell me what you enjoyed and didn't enjoy. Because tonight was not a perfect night, not by a long shot. But overall, I think this was definitely a good night for us wrestling fans. So, but everyone, I thank you for tuning in, and I hope to see you tomorrow night, 5 minutes after WrestleMania goes off the air. So, everyone be well, much love, I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.